we look at chapter 37, and it says, verse 3, trust them, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord is something that's, well, we know it's accurate, and we know of verses that talk to us about it, and we experience it, and we often can refer to it as the day we got saved, and rightly so. And then there are things that take place in our lives that, well, it makes us go to God. And unfortunately, it's a learning curve that makes us in dependence to God, that it goes against the natural desires and ways of dealing with life and purpose of life. But when it comes to eternal perspective, this is really where God wants us to be, is in a mood or in a perspective of trusting. So I really just think about it as in great dependence upon Him and not being self-sufficient, not always having the answer, but rather in a heart of looking to God and seeking Him. And often it can be within our hearts, we think, well, this is a pretty big matter, we got to go to the Lord. But He also tells us that it's about the small matters too. And trusting in the Lord is, I believe, until we're with the Lord, something that's going to be a work that He is seeking to do in us. So I want to think about in chapter 40, if you think of the Psalm 40 as really about the Lord in narrative, and we think of verse 4 in chapter 40, it says, blessed or happy is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. So if we are able, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to remember this and to put it into practice, this is where we're able to have a happy soul. So blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And I think of our Savior. He always sought to do the will of Him that sent me. And we think of how He even said to the disciples, when they offered Him meat, He says, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. So He's really our greatest example. And we think of His trust in the Father, how He could say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So trusting in the Lord is something that is an individual matter. And where I am in my life, as an individual walking with God, and where the next person is, can be different. I should never be expecting or assuming that another individual is developed or enjoying or able to trust in the Lord where I'm at, or maybe I need to be where they're at, but not to compare, but to look at it as an individual walk with God, and that it is becoming increasingly more of a heart that is trusting in the Lord. So it's a work in us. And then I think about in chapter 37 and verse 4, it says to us, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. And we think of David. He delighted in the Lord. And what brings us delight? What brings us a spirit of motivation for what our passion is? And what is our passion? Again, it's an individual walk with God. But the delight of the Lord is really where there is joy. And delighting in the Lord is really depicted in verse 8 of chapter 40. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. So when he, our Savior, was in Gethsemane and considering and knowing what would take place of betrayal and of the forces that would come and of the false accusations in a trial that was incorrect but was sovereign by God, his heart never changed in delighting to do the will of the Father. And we think of the sacrifice. We think of the suffering. And yet we think of the delight. So the purposes of God are, we know, are we can't really grasp them in our minds. The past finding out, it says. But as our life is in trust of God for each matter, our delight needs to be in God. And that takes a real matter of, I was going to say exercise, but I think that word can get sometimes misunderstood. But putting into practice what we know. Delight to do thy will. And so we can read the Word of God to find out his will. We can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the Word of God and just in our daily walk with him, thinking about what God wants us to do. And that's a big part of life. It's the purpose that brings delight to the soul when we're in fellowship and doing the will of the Father. So trusting in the Lord, delighting in the Lord, and then in chapter 37, we read about in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And again, it says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we think of committing, bringing God into the matter and to pray. And I want to encourage you that prayer doesn't need to be in a synagogue, doesn't need to be in a particular place or in a particular fashion, but it's a sincerity of including God into the matter of life and the matter at hand and the purpose of life. Committing our way to the Lord is, I think, also a lifelong, not battle, but a forming of character spiritually that is only able to be done with the help of God. The flesh can very easily overtake the individual, and yet we are promised that the Lord will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And I confess it's very easy to leave the Lord. And yet he never leaves us. And he wants us to commit our ways unto him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And when we look at chapter 40 and verse 13, he says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. It's really a cry for help. And we think of the Lord on the cross. He could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out to the Father. We're thankful that we won't be forsaken. But he endured so much for us to redeem us, and he's just asking us to be a follower of him. and genuineness. We will never be fully like the Lord Jesus, but the character that he has is really the example we should be striving for. Committing our way into the Lord is maybe often a comment that can be said, but it's really a great dependence. Again, it kind of goes along with trusting in God and taking the time to be sincere with the Lord in our prayer of needing his full direction and care and guidance for what he has for us in our lives. And again, our Savior is the greatest example of that, isn't it? In chapter 37, verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord. You know, rest is something that we all need physically for our bodies. And rest here in the Arctic is very abnormal because of 24-hour light. There's no real consistent pattern. But rest for our soul with God. And to be able to not be in anguish and not to be in anxiousness and worry. It's easy to talk about, isn't it? But to rest in the Lord takes a desire of trusting in him, delighting in him, committing our way to him. Then we can start to have some rest for our soul in the burdens of life and the unknowns and the cares of everyday living, the burden for souls, the unknowns of assembly lives. Rest is only in the Lord, isn't it? And so we know about that. I'm not really delivering a message that you're not familiar with, but it's rather to bring to our mind again and to encourage us that the Lord is the one that is able to meet the need for our souls. And there are so many things that influence life, whether it be practical, necessary, or garbage. Rest in the Lord only comes from him. And then it says in verse 7, or rather I wanted to share with you verses 16 and 17 in chapter 40 and bring them to your attention, is about rest, is let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. So the rest that we talk about, the Lord, in his relationship with the Father, could have rest because of his obedience. And the same for us. When we have a heart that is obedient and in fellowship with God, there's rest for us. And it says to wait patiently for him. And our Savior is returning. And there might be many that would not really like to think about that, believers included. But our Lord is returning very soon. And it says to wait patiently for him and to anticipate that he is going to take us from this life and he's going to bring us into a place of no sin and in his presence, and to be able to enjoy The purpose of life in the perspective of eternity that we are seeking to strive for on the earth as humans that have accepted Christ and we're a child of God, and to bring to pass what is really the eternal goal, is to be in the presence of our Savior, the one that died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, and he lives today. There is nothing that is happening on this earth that isn't fully known to him. And every step that we take and every matter that comes past our way, he's in control. And he's saying, commit your way to him, trust in him, rest in him. And he says, make no tarrying, oh my God. Dear believer, let me encourage you. We're going to be with our Savior soon, face to face. And even if it was 50 years from now, it's very soon. And we have today, we have tonight. And are we seeking to have our eye upon the one that says he will come? And to look with anticipation, the man without sin coming to the air to take us off this earth. Child of God, we soon will be all together. Although we have never met face to face, we will be with our Savior, and I believe there will be a lot of rejoicing with other believers. So we can look patiently for him and anticipate his return, and to know that our trust can be in him, our delight can be in him, we can commit our ways to him, and we can rest in him. So I trust that these thoughts are motivating in our joy for the Lord, and they are a blessing to our souls, and most importantly, that the Lord is honored and glorified. Now, we have talked about maybe having a little report about what's going on here in the Arctic, and where is the Arctic? Well, if you looked at a world map, it's about a 45-degree angle north from where you are, and I don't know how many thousands of miles, but we are above the Arctic Circle here in Pond Inlet, and Pond Inlet has a population of about 1,600 people, and it's at the north end of Baffin Island and about 400 miles north of the Arctic Circle. So the Arctic Circle marks where the sunrise and sunset stops. And so experienced about 2.5 months, 3 months, something like that, of continuous 24-hour light. And now just starting to get some sunsets. But on the other side of that, in the wintertime, we have 24-hour darkness. And both have their adjustment periods for us. Right now, it's a beautiful 10 degrees centigrade. And it got up to about 15 degrees this summer. The summer has passed, and we're starting to get close into fall here. The ice left the ocean about, 2 weeks ago. And still massive icebergs pass in front of our home. Our home is on the beach end of the town. And we have a spectacular view, and we thank the Lord for that. The community here has a very thriving young people, lots of children. And when we came here for the first time, Heidi and I, and together in 2015, and we lived in a tent for 2.5 months. And because housing is extremely difficult in the Arctic and hotels are way out of price. And so we lived in a tent seeking to share the gospel. I came up here the first time in 2013 in September, having no understanding of the Arctic, but knowing that it was what God wanted me to do. And in faith, we made plans, and the Lord opened a way, and there's a full story involved with that as well. And what are we going to do if we go to the Arctic? And, you know, the Lord doesn't always give all the details. He seldom does. And I think about Abraham. He went out not knowing where he is going. And that's really kind of how it went for us. And truly, that's what our day-to-day is we have no idea how our day will go. We don't particularly have a structure. And we make ourselves available. And what takes place is unknown to us. And when we moved here in 2017, I had already made 4 visits to the Arctic. Somewhere in other communities. I've maybe visited 4 or 5 other communities. Maybe 4. But knowing that the Lord was directing us to this community of Pond Inlet, He opened up a way for us to purchase a house that had not been lived in for 2 or 3 years and was left in bad shape. And I guess you could just say it was really run down. And thankfully, we were able to purchase it. And with the help of 2 brethren, we were able to modify it and to restore it to livable conditions. And the lower part of the home is, we have a room that's about 16 by 33. And we have used that for outreach and mostly for children. And it started out with just sharing cookies with some boys. And Heidi likes to bake and she's good at it. And she started sharing cookies, and then that brought more. And food is a problem in the Arctic. And it's not because it's not available, but children don't get fed maybe as best as they should. A lot of the money that people have here, it gets used incorrectly, we'll just say it nicely. So kids are without. And for us to be able to provide some cookies was a real thing. For of like a drawing power. Then we realized how many kids were coming. Well, we ended up having to split up our group because our room would hold about 40 kids comfortably, and 50, but 60 is just too many. And so we made it into 2 different sessions for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We would have our place open for kids. And grade 4 to grade 6, we had from 3:30 till 4:30. And then the high school kids, grade 7 and up, from 7 o'clock till 8:30, sometimes 9. And they would be able to come here to get in line for food. Heidi would make either spaghetti, rice, or macaroni, depending on the day. Big pots full, and kids can have as much food as they want, and then only 2 cookies. And lots of kids come, and they stick around, and they can. We have different artwork or crafts they can do for the first half hour, and then we would sing for 15 minutes and then do a Bible lesson. And these children have no instruction. They have no clue of any idea of the Bible and the meaning of any verse, or just 0. The Anglican Church here is quite good in its teaching of the gospel. Not everything, obviously, I agree with, but they, for what they know, we have a very good relationship together with them, and yet they don't teach the children. The children, if you want your children to be going to Sunday school, you have to pay. So it's a door open for us for kids to come and learn, and we do PowerPoint presentations with the kids here in the Arctic, electronics, and the Inuit love new technology. They are not afraid of it, and they will learn it. And it doesn't matter if it's what it involves. They love it, most of them. At any rate, we have had lots of kids come in, and up until March 16th, because of, as we all know, this COVID problem. But really, there's no COVID up here. And there was a false positive, but there is no isolation taking place. You never, very seldom see a mask. Life is as normal up here, which is 13 people living in a house with a two-bedroom house, and things are crowded out, and there's no social distancing. So it's good that way, but we have not had any groups in, although I think we're going to maybe start with school starts on August 17th. We'll probably start as well. Being open in the summertime with all the lack of discipline for sleep schedule and people take off and go camping, it's just not a good fit. It's better just to be closed. But we have people coming, whether it be adults or kids, and dropping by, and we still have people come in. It's just not in large groups. So we're thankful for all the connections we've made with these kids and the songs they sing, and the Never Heard of Jesus Loves Me, or anyhow, we have been able to teach them, and they love it, and we love them, and it's a great time, and they love to learn, and they remember. So we are thankful for the opportunity the Lord's given, and we hope it comes back. We had Bible studies at 2:30 on Sundays, and that stopped, and mostly with teenager high school kids. And they know there's food, and we cook pancakes and have a nice time. But it's a place to go. We live in a place of isolation, and there's nothing for kids to do, zero, especially with COVID, because there's no community center open. There's nothing. And now they're getting into trouble with doing lots of pot and smoking weed, doing different troublesome things, I guess you'd say. And just lack of any type of direction here. Parents seldom discipline their kids, but there are some families that do. So in our house, there's discipline. There's law and order. And if you don't like it, I just make them leave. So, like, there's no whispering and no aggression. As you can imagine, with a whole bunch of boys and girls and the problems that all can happen, you have to keep it pretty good. But I have a, thankfully, a good relationship. They understand, they listen, and they behave. And even the kids I've kicked out, they always come back with a hug, an apology. And they're different. And still to this day, they're the sweetest connections we have. So, yeah, kids work has been a really big thing. Bible studies, you know, that Bible study would be like, well, let's learn the books of the Bible and what happens in this part of the Bible and what happened in that part of the Bible, being old and new. And starting from zero, and it's difficult in that it's so easy to overcomplicate and to speak in ways that we might be familiar with, but to them it's foreign, so foreign. And then with English and their Inuktitut, you have to be very careful and slow so that there's understanding. Where am I speaking English? No, we don't speak in Inuktitut, and it's a challenge for us. But most of the people up to about 50, 60 years old, they know the English language. And then maybe around March, the Lord laid on my heart about the need for work on the radio. The radio program here is like the CBC channel they take over, and they use it like an intercom for the whole community. People call in and they might ask for some water, or they ask where their child is, or tell a story of the past, or people go there and sing happy birthday. So I go there and I read the Word of God Wednesday nights. So I just came from there before this meeting, Wednesday nights from 9 o'clock till 9:30 or so. And I've been taking up a chapter in Romans. Tonight was Romans 15. So I read it in English, and the host will read it in Inuktitut, because they have a Bible in there. And then I'll speak for 10 minutes maybe, or 15 minutes in the gospel. And it's appreciated. There's no one that's against it. Council's for it. Everyone's for it, and the leadership of the elders, and they appreciate it. And Heidi, she has a prayer group with Facebook, with a lot of ladies. Heidi is excellent with connecting with all the ladies in the, well, not all the ladies, but many of the ladies in the community. She does a work that I could never do in personal work, because most of our work is personal work. Therefore, the Lord's given her that, and that's been a real blessing, and to be in people's lives. Now, for us to live here as white people, there's quite a resistance and a clash. It's greater than I knew it was going to be of being, discrimination. So we're very much held at arm's length, but over time, trust is built and appreciation is given. And because of the care for the children, the parents and the grandparents express appreciation. The reading of the Word of God, there is a great reverence for God in the community, and we're thankful for that. Another part of interacting with the community, and I volunteered to be on the search and rescue. And even yesterday we had a call and had to travel 100 miles by boat. Thankfully everything turned out well, but before we left they asked me to pray, and they want God involved in their lives. So that's a real blessing. Get involved in the people's lives with their community events. We've gone to a fishing derby, and just to be able to get out of town, because there's no roads to here. There's no way of going anywhere except by snowmobile, or by boat, or flying out of here. It's available, but it's extremely cost prohibitive on a regular basis. And so traveling 100 miles by snow machine, living in a tent in May at minus 20 was a real nice outing. So we did that and get to be in people's lives and to build relationships and share the gospel with them. And children that want to hear Bible stories. Heidi was just had kids at her feet while she's digging a hole. They're wanting to know more Bible stories. So that was really encouraging. And I've been involved with the dog races, a quest every year, and that gives opportunity to meet more people from other communities. And they race about 5-6 days, and I was involved as the timekeeper, and meeting people and sharing the gospel with the Inuit, or we used to call them Eskimos, but Inuit, and Inuit means people. So we just look to God for who he's working with, and not trying to make things the way that we think they should be, but see where God is going to open the door and to see who is God working with, and work with that person. And with Heidi's connections with the ladies, people will ask her, come and pray with me, and she will go and pray with them. And then there's a lot of alcohol abuse here, so people will see us and cry out to us to pray for them, because they cannot say no to alcohol. It's a demonic control upon them. They know it. They tell us about it, and they're too afraid of the demons to not drink. So the power of prayer is essential. We can't function without it. And if you're praying for us, and I believe you truly are, thank you very much. So we are in people's lives, whether they be sober or drunk, or whether they're clean or dirty. So many of the Inuit here, like 99%, smoking is part of the culture. And whether it's a 9-year-old kid up to 90 years old, smoking is part of life. And if I was afraid of that, I would never be close to anybody. So we are just looking to God for the grace for every matter. Now, another encouraging thing is first year I came here in 2013, I met this one young guy, and he was maybe, he's 23 now, so whatever that is. And he has expressed real sincere desire for studying the Word of God. So maybe back in March, April, we started to study the Word of God together. And he has professed to be saved. And we meet on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, Sundays now, and even other days of the week. And he has left all his drinking friends and partying, and it's his desire not to sin is his motive for life. And he's put his faith in Christ, and we're just really thankful for Cody. So pray for Cody, and pray for his girlfriend, Patricia. She's from another community, and she as well has professed to be saved. So we thank God for that, and ask you to pray for Cody and Patricia. Now, probably other things that are happening, I'm just trying to remember them. But we are mostly encouraged, but the reality is sometimes the isolation, of a very serious isolation, it can get to you. And it's only with the grace of God. We just look to the Lord for today. We don't plan for tomorrow. We look to God for today. And I'm just thankful to be able to report that God does sustain us spiritually and physically. Here in the Arctic, food is available. And thankfully, food is subsidized by the government in a very big way. And I'll just give you an example. Like, we bought a bag of milk, like, you know, those ones that have three bags in it. And I looked at the receipt, and it was $50 before subsidy. And I think we bought it for $1.29. And flour and potatoes, they're so heavy. Well, they're really expensive. I forget what the prices are, but a lot of things are subsidized, and we're thankful for that. They have freighters, airplane freighters, come in more than once a week for those two different stores, and we can get produce. And sometimes in the wintertime, it's pretty pathetic, but it's still green peppers and red peppers that look wilted, but we're just thankful for them. It's with growing up on a farm and living in a land where there was so much available, and then living in isolation, makes me wish I had appreciated the good vegetables in the garden before. At any rate, we have what we have, and there's always fresh seal to eat. Now, I prefer it cooked, but often it's eaten raw, and I've eaten it raw as well, but I can't say I'm too favorable of it. But I do get involved with hunting with the community, and it's a big thing of grasping and appreciating what's important to them. And I'm a very much of a believer in that, is in the gospel work, if I don't take time to listen to people and be involved with what's important to them, I might as well, like, it's just rude not to be like that in my mind. So I spend a lot of time being involved in people's lives for the gospel work. One of them is hunting, and hunting at minus 40 and learning how to be able to live and to survive in the darkness and in the cold, and to be successful at it and to share the meat with others, has brought a lot of respect, I guess, and appreciation, because I'm a white man helping the community. And I get involved with a lot of other hunters. And then out there in the darkness of the day, because it's 24-hour darkness, or whatever it is, night, people start to open up and ask questions, and they know that I am the one that represents God, and they will either ask me to pray or ask about the Lord Jesus and the way of salvation. So we're just thankful for opportunities to be involved in people's lives, no matter what it takes. And I can't say that I'm all gung-ho and favorable of hunting at minus 40, maybe 20 a little bit. But at any rate, you do what you got to do to be able to be in the people's lives that God wants you to be involved with. And that's what it's about. Am I willing to be sent? I think about Philip was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, if he didn't be willing, it'd be like a Jonah. So I don't want to be like a Jonah. And I have to be willing to do what God says. Okay, go do that.